Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. Well, we continue our study about the Messiah. Our extended series is called The Marvelous Messiah. And marvelous and wondrous He is, the Savior that we serve, who came down from heaven to bring us up to Himself. He who was called the Son of Man became a man that we might become the children of God. We have been looking at prophecies dealing with the Messiah's temperament, His personality, His character traits. And the amazing thing is that when you believe Jesus is who He said He was, not only the Messiah, but God in the flesh, then the very perfect qualities of His personality are extensions of who God is. And thus far we've looked at several personality traits of the Messiah as revealed through messianic prophecy. We discovered that the Messiah would be obedient, He would be zealous, He would be spotless, He would be innocent, He would be without guile, He would be meek. And today we discuss the fact He would be long-suffering or patient. You know that old cliche, patience is a virtue. And yet the Messiah was the epitome of God's patience towards sinful man. It is by patience that we walk in orderly conduct rooted in self-control. What did Yeshua say? He said, in patience, possess your soul. The fact the Messiah would be patient towards sinners is another marvelous aspect of His personality. And at the same time reveals that we by nature are not impatient. No, most of the time we are possessed with self-will and a lack of self-control. For instance, if someone should lash out at us, our first reaction is to retaliate in kind. But the Lord did not do this. He was perfectly patient. He bore reproach from His enemies and silently endured their insults and physical abuse heaped upon Him. There's an old saying, He has the patience of Job, which is a reference to the great suffering of Job and how Job held up under it. When you say that of someone, what you're saying is that that person possesses great patience. And yet, the patience of Jesus, our Messiah, was infinitely more than Job. And there were times when Job had an emotional breakdown and complained and criticized God because he could not understand the inscrutable mystery of God's providence. And I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that to disparage Job or to point down at him. No, Job was the epitome of human patience at its best. And even we, most of us collectively, we do not measure up to even the patience of Job. And yet we have the patience of our Savior Yeshua, who could have struck out to strike down those sinners who contradicted Him, opposed Him, and sought, and eventually murdered Him. And what was His response? It was one of compassion, love, tenderness, and forgiveness. Yes, God is patient with the sinner, and He will forbear him unto the very last minute he breathes his last and dies. Why? So that he, that the sinner, can come to salvation. We are exhorted to be patient with the Lord. particularly as it relates to His return. And the born-again believer, one of the normal desires that he will have is his desire to see the Lord return quickly. And we are to wait patiently upon Him because He will deem the time best for His return. To wait upon the Lord in patience takes faith. Faith in the belief that God knows the best and most opportune time for Him to act. And the Lord Jesus waited and continues to wait upon sinful mankind. And when the predetermined number of saved souls is accomplished, while the Lord waits for that to be completed, we also are to follow in His footsteps and be patient and long-suffering as well. The patience of Jesus is the patience of God, for Jesus is God. God exercised His patience when Noah built the ark. And for 120 years while building the ark, God in His patience and mercy towards the wicked warned them of the flood of judgment to come and exhorted them to turn to Him and be saved from that devastating deluge. The Lord also, through His sufferings, demonstrated the patience of God. Even now, during the church age, God has been patient and long-suffering with unbelieving man. So much so that this patience, this long-suffering is considered salvation, for it allows the wicked to come to faith in Jesus Christ for salvation while the Lord patiently waits before He executes His full judgment on the earth. Yeshua's brief time on this earth was one, as Herbert Lockyer says, it was one long sermon on patience and long suffering, or long on suffering. And that's true when you think about the 30 silent years that Jesus lived in obscurity in a neglected place called Nazareth. It was there our Lord waited patiently year after year for the hour of His public manifestation and anointing as Israel's Messiah and the Savior of the world. Jesus waited and waited, and then when that hour came, He proclaimed that He was the Messiah, come to offer Israel the Messianic Kingdom. And He patiently waited for Israel to receive that offer, though in the end many in Israel rejected Him, following the apostate lead of the religious leaders of that time. Today the Lord patiently waits on Israel as He regathers them back into their ancient homeland that He had given them by way of the eternal covenant He made with their founding father Abraham. He waits and waits and waits. And though Israel walks in unbelief towards Him, He will wait, and then His patience, of course, will pay off when He returns to the Jewish people in the land of Israel. And they will nationally and collectively look upon Him and realize that the pierced one is the Messiah. And so this indeed is the patience of the Messiah. Love. There is an element of patience in love. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love suffers long. It suffers long. It endures. It puts up with rude and provocative treatment without retaliating or lashing out. And so that is indeed God's love revealed through His patience. And the reason why God has not yet closed the present age with His wrath poured out on an unbelieving world, which will commence with the tribulation period of 7 years, is because He is still waiting for sinners to receive His invitation of coming to His Son, the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, for salvation. And this leads us into the Messiah's benevolence. Oh, the Messiah is so benevolent to us, beloved. His benevolence is boundaryless, limitless. And this bounty is a manifestation of His grace. The Lord is benevolent to all, sinner and saint alike. His bounty or His benevolence is seen by His pouring out benefits upon us. And one could spend an entire lifetime and a thousand lifetimes enumerating what those benefits are to His creation. But the greatest benefit God showed man was in Jesus with the bestowal of salvation. Do not let anyone, more specifically the jaded atheist and evasive agnostic, tell you that God is not good. Nor let them question the goodness of God even in the face of so much evil. Because one has to only, and that is the believer, he only has to point to Calvary to show God's goodness. For there at Calvary, the Lord bestowed goodness on those who were not good. He bestowed grace on those who deserved His disfavor and judgment. And from there, that benevolence is extended to all. Psalm 13:6, the psalmist says about God that He has dealt bountifully with me. And every day, the psalmist goes on to say in Psalm 68:19 and 116:12, that it is God who daily loads us with benefits, which are beyond number. And so Jesus the Messiah is the fount of all of God's blessing for this life and the life to come. And whether Jew or Gentile, if they should reject this fount of all blessing, then they indeed seek to embrace death. For Yeshua is life, and that more abundantly. Yes, listen to the benevolence of the Messiah when He says, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. That is because He is our benevolent Messiah. And so, the Lord is benevolent because He showers benefits that cannot be counted daily upon us. The word benefit denotes kindness or favor dispensed on the part of the benefactor, followed with gratitude and thankfulness on the part of the beneficiary, the one who benefits from the benefactor. And this then should cause you and I, as believers in Yeshua the Messiah, to be thankful daily, continually, for the benefits God has given to us. And though we could never pay our Savior back for His infinite number of benefits, we certainly can serve Him out of obedient gratitude. And because the Messiah was and is our benevolent King, dispensing only that which is good for us from the throne of grace, His benevolence led then to the very denial of Himself so that He could bring the blessing of salvation to all mankind. The cost for that was His own life. Jesus, the Messiah's life, was not a self-serving life. It was a self-emptying life. The Messiah, we are told from Scripture, would lead a life of self-denial and the dying of self. This is most defined and revealed in the Old Testament in Isaiah 53, where we read the Messiah in the role of Yahweh's suffering servant dies in the place of the guilty to bring them forgiveness, acquittal from God, and expiation from sin. And then in the New Testament, the Lord's self-denial was most evident at the Incarnation, when God the Son left the eternal glories of heaven and the felicitous fellowship with the Father and the Holy Spirit, and laid aside His pre-incarnate glory to take upon the role of a menial servant. And He was obedient even unto death, the death of the cross. Yes, the self-denial of Messiah led to His great and infinite humiliation when He came on earth, when He was born as a fragile babe in Bethlehem from the Virgin Mary. Paul tells us of this great humiliation in Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So you and I, as followers of Yeshua, are also to walk in this same kind of humiliation. Not easy for us, who are naturally prone to pride, ego, and a self-inflated opinion of ourselves. Nevertheless, we are to follow in the footsteps of our self-denying Master, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a slave, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as man, He humbled Himself and became obedient, even the death of the cross. So here we see the self-denial of Messiah led to His death on the cross. This was so that He could bring salvation to you and I, the condemned sinner. And because He died on the cross, denied what was His by right and by privilege and by being God with God, He laid those aside. Though still being God, He did not hold on to the privileges of being God, but allowed Himself to be subjected to humiliation, suffering, and death, even the death of the cross. So God came to this earth, and in doing so stripped Himself of the privileges that belong to God alone. Privileges of obeisance, obedience, and submission by man. instead of demanding that from all of mankind, he allowed mankind to vent their hatred, their sinful disdain upon him when he hung on the cross. That, my friend, takes infinite self-denial. You and I could not do that. No, if we were to be assaulted in such a way, we would clamor for our rights under the Constitution, our rights as human beings. We would seek the best legal representation to defend us, and we would take measures to fight and resist those who sought to harm us. But not so with our Messiah, Jesus. No, he came to die and to give his life as a ransom for many. Had he wanted to, he could have easily killed and destroyed and overcome his enemies when they came to arrest him in the Garden of Gethsemane in his hour of intense agony. In fact, he said, I could call forth legions of angels. But he knew he came not to destroy men's lives, but to save man's lives from the destruction of sin and the power of Satan. So he poured out his soul unto death that we might have life in him, Isaiah 53:12. Jesus lived the perfect life of self-denial. Therefore he could say, whoever will save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. Remember what the derisive and blasphemous chief priests of the Sanhedrin said to Jesus while he hung in agony on the cross. They said, he saved others himself. He cannot save. And out of that comment of mockery, there was truth. Because had Jesus saved himself, it would have meant the destruction of his enemies surrounding the cross and all of us who are at enmity with God. Yes, Jesus could have come down from the cross and called for his avenging angels from heaven or fire from the throne of God in heaven to incinerate and destroy his murderers. No, he refrained from doing that, and rather invoke God's wrath on them, he prayed and interceded for their forgiveness. He died not only for our sin, but he died to the selfish desire to protect one's own life for personal profit. If Jesus had listened to the taunt of his enemies and saved himself, there simply would have been no salvation for the lost, guilty world. And we would still be under the rule of Satan's sin and death. And so Jesus did not please the self-life. He was not here to pursue pleasure or to have a good time. Yes, there were times he enjoyed life, but that was incidental to his mission. It was not his mission. He came to lay down his life that you and I could find eternal life in him. And we are called to do the same in service to him. We are not here to please or pamper ourselves. Something that the American church has long ignored and forgotten. They would tell you that God wants you to be happy, blessed, reveling in material prosperity and pleasure. This is not the gospel. Nor is it the general tenor laid out by the Lord for discipleship, following him. No, we are to live a life of self-denial. We are to allow the Holy Spirit's power to put to death the lustful desires and deeds of our fallen nature. When Jesus Christ calls us to follow Him, He calls us to lay down our life and die and carry the cross with Him. Not a popular message in the American megachurches of today. And so Jesus was, He was a man who gave His life for others, and in so doing denied His own comfort, His own selfish desires, though He was not selfish in mind or by deed. Another evidence of the Messiah's death to self was His unworldliness. He was not caught up with the fashions and thoughts and philosophies of this fallen world in their rebellion against God. And so Jesus died, rejected, scorned, and crucified by the fallen world system of man in their rebellion against God. Jesus denied and died to all the carnal inducements and fleshly appeals of the world and all that went with it. Remember Jesus, when He was tempted in the wilderness by the devil who is the ruler of this world, the temporary ruler, showed Jesus all the kingdoms in a moment of time. And all that political allure, all that imperial glory, Jesus shunned and rejected with not even so much as a minuscule inkling to want them. Rejected them on the face of it. Why? Because though our Messiah was born into the world, He was not of the world system. Therefore, our great high priest, Yeshua the Messiah, could pray for His own in John 17:16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Jesus was otherworldly. Not to the extent that He discarded care and concern and living in this world. No, He did that. He came into the world to bring people out of the world system. Really, Jesus' benevolence, His love, His self-denial, all these contribute to the fact that God is love. God is love. John, the apostle, reminds us of that some four times in his first epistle. John reminds us that God is love. Love is not only one of the divine virtues of the Godhead, it is a foundational part of the divine being. And so since Jesus is the embodiment, the physical embodiment of the eternal God, He also manifests God's love in a perfect way that brought salvation to you and I. He loves you today. You say, how do I know that? All you have to do is look to the cross and see that He gave everything up so that you might have everything in return. Well, I see we're out of time. Until next time, Shalom Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus, our marvelous Messiah, be with you.